So let's try to clarify a little bit more. Again, we're trying to understand the scope of the Din of Beis Shammai. We have like two points that we're really trying to clarify. One is, you know, just to understand technically, you know, what is Beis Shammai, you know, what do they hold? What is their position? What is, you know, what is Shitas Beis Shammai? That in itself, of course, would be, you know, highly significant. Of course, at the same time, we're on the, you know, the lookout, you know, to see, you know, whether or not the more restrictive view of Beis Shammai, you know, is like fundamentally restrictive, and therefore qualitatively, you know, that it's a qualitative characteristic of that restrictiveness that we're trying to identify. In other words, that unlike, and then we have to, of course, do the same thing for Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, but, you know, bipashtos, if you were given your choice, you know, as I said before, the Shita Beis Shammai stands out, and not just because there are, you know, fewer grounds for divorce, but because the, you know, both the fact that there are fewer, you know, already raises this question, but especially the actual grounds themselves that we are familiar with, namely Dabar Shebe'erva, are suggestive of an approach which says that the only either legitimate way to get out of a marriage or at least, you know, legitimate excuse to be Megaresh, those are two different things, I'll get to them in a minute, would be if there is a inherent, you know, chisaron, you know, in the ishus itself. Right? Dabar Shebe'erva is, you know, not only toxic and therefore more justifiable, but, you know, could already be a kilkul, you know, in the ishus itself, especially if you're a strict constructionist and understand that Dabar Shebe'erva really means the iser eishes ish, in which case is also an iser sota. So this is no longer a viable marriage. Right? That's different than saying, you know, either that, like, there are understandable you know, differences are what they, you know, in American law, what they call irreconcilable differences. But, you know, in from a Torah point of view, would be, you know, there are objective, there are objective problems in the relationship, and that, of course, is still light years away from the suggestion that it's simply, you know, an act of volition, and you just, you know, whether we like it or we don't like it, you know, you can be megaresh, you know, as an act of bechira. So that's what we are interested in figuring out. So a lot of this, you know, focus on Beis Shammai ends up crystallizing around the comment of the Yerushalmi. Okay? How so? Did I skip your name? I mentioned your name. I mentioned your name. Okay, good. I remember I saw it right near Eitan's, and I was, but it was like outside the box. So okay, Yitzhak. So why does all this? Why does a lot of this end up focusing around the Yerushalmi?
Because the Yerushalmi is trying to explain if there are any differences or are there any differences between Isser Maser and Yerushalmi and Maser. So it's also, and if there are differences,
or not so much whether there are differences. That isn't really an accurate. That's not the accurate issue of the Yerushalmi. That's not whether there are differences, but whether there is any, whether there's any relevance, any, you know, any impact to the Yisr Maksu Krishaso, you know, once you hold like Beis Shammai. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So, So basically that question, you know, already assumes that Beis Shammai is very restrictive. At minimum, it implies that, you know, that Matzah Ba'ervas Davar, you know, is always a case of Sota, right? Because if it weren't, then the answer would be, you know, really, really simple. So in a way, it seems to negate, you know, the Tshuva Sarajba, which we'll read inside in just a minute. The question is, does it also negate the possibility that, you know, Bidi Eved, you know, even according to Beis Shammai, you know, if you were to proceed, you know, that you would, you know, there would be a chalos geirushin, just that, you know, you did the wrong thing, correct? So that is questionable. The idea that, you know, when you first read the Yerushalmi, you know, that the implication might be, you know, that in you know, sof girish, you know, that there's no chalos geirushin, right? Is obviously a big chiddush, correct? Okay, so you have to assume A, that Mataba Erbas Davar is very limited, right, to actual sota. You have to, we're not sure whether you have to assume that this is also ma'akeh b'di'evad and that there's no chalos geirushin, which is very, you know, mechudash. Do you have to assume anything else? You have to assume probably that there's no benefit, you know, for overlapping Isurim, or that for technical reasons, overlapping Isurim, right, do not satisfy, you know, this problem.
Right. Okay?
And that might be the answer of the Yerushalmi, but that also needs to be understood. Okay, so let's take one, you know, alachat achat. Before we go to that, the answers of the Yerushalmi, you know, we should just also note that there are parallel questions, as we already discussed. According to Beit Shammai, how do you ever have a chiyuv ksuva because of the problem of, you know, shalote kala be'enav lahotzia, you know, should it be a problem if you hold, you know, that the only circumstances of getter matzah ba'erbas davar, right, that is the discussion of the ksam sofer, correct? And there again, the assumption seems to be that Beit Shammai has a very, very narrow application. Right, because if it were just, you know, again, if it was more expansive, you know, then the answer would be, you know, would be simple. You know, there might still be cases. Again, this is a little bit more of a difficult question because we might still want any case where we want there to be a get. This is a problem, but as we'll see, at least you know, the question of you know, her rotzon as opposed to the bal korcha, you know, might be an issue. Either way, this is an important question. Ksam Sofer's own answer to this question is fascinating, and that is in Ochanami, you know, according to Beit Shammai, Ksuva is going to be Doraisa, and it's not based on Shalote Kalabin of Lohotzia. Okay. There's a third question that Achronim ask, among them the Pnei Yoshua, also a similar question, just that each of these questions, again, you know, touches on a little bit of a different, you know, part of the topic. And that is, why do you need, anybody familiar? I told you, but, you know, I didn't give you the Pnei Yoshua, but I mentioned it the other day. Anybody curious? No one?
Zona and Grusha.
Exactly. Excellent. So the Pnei Yoshua says, why do you need a lav of Grusha, you know, le Kohen? After all, according to Beit Shammai, every case of Gerushin is a case of Sota. And if that's the case, then, you know, then she's already a Surabo, right? Okay. So that is those are three questions. Again, if you assume, you know, that Beit Shammai is a little more expansive, you know, then, you know, once again, that's not going to be a problem. Okay, so these are questions, you know, three questions, you know, to consider. Okay. Let's talk about the answers to the questions, or answers that are given to the question. So, the Yerushalmi itself we'll get back to. Obviously, Yerushalmi, you know, is so important because of the question, and also because the answer doesn't really seem to negate, you know, any of these assumptions, right? In the end of the day, the Yerushalmi is either saying lav or balav, right? That's, you know, one girsa. That's the girsa that we have in the Yerushalmi, or the girsa that we have in Balei Tosis and the Rajba, which is what, Shai? Lav Rala B'Shnei Lav.
Right.
Okay. So in other words, we'll discuss that also, you know, briefly, right? Is it, like, what do we mean by that? Okay. But either way, it sounds like, you know, yeah, this is a really good question. You know, on the whole, we can't find any case of Machzik Rushaso, you know, which isn't also a case of sota, correct? Okay. So what about other yeshuvim to this question? So number one, the Knesset HaGdola that is quoted in the Mishnah LeMelech, right, Benny, who says what? Even according to Beis Shammai, right, this is just Eitzah Tova. Okay, that, of course, you know, makes the whole sugya, you know, a very different tone, obviously. But, you know, if you take that, then this whole question of the Yerushalmi doesn't answer for the Yerushalmi. The question, you know, doesn't get off the ground. One of the rayas that the Mishnah Melech, you know, invokes in rejecting the Knesset HaGdola is the Yerushalmi, right? Okay, so that is, but that of course is very, very important. What's interesting about the Mishnah Melech's discussion, which I do want to get back to, is that the Mishnah Melech is so dismissive of the Knesset HaGdola, you know, that he, you know, thinks that, you know, there's also no reason to distinguish between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You have a line there, Noam?
Yeah, one second. I mean, it's technically the Kosev, right?
What?
It's the Kosev's Ha'ara on the Mishnah Melech, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Whatever, yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah,
I meant in the Mishnah.
It's in the present.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh. So, again, this is a, you know, we're always looking for this, you know. Mid the Beis Shammai, Nishma the Beis Hillel? Really? So, again, the idea that, you know, for Beis Shammai, this could have been, you know, a real din, and that for Beis Hillel, you know, the issue might be Eitzah Tova, is very, very reasonable. Correct? Okay. But he rejects it anyway, and that's interesting. Okay, so that's one point. The idea that, you know, even Beis Shammai is an Eitzah Tova is an important shita. The Kosev in the Mishnah Melech, correct, also quotes the shita of the Marajdam, which is also really interesting and we need to get back to a little. Noam, what's that?
In the Eris and the Tanaim don't argue.
Yeah. Is the Machlokas HaTanaim only in the context Gerushin from Nisuin, right, or even from Erisin? So what do you think? Is that, you know, which is the default logical position or obvious position, we'll say, and what is more mechudash?
I think it's a bit more default obvious to say not like this, to say that Erisin is gives you ishus folishus.
Yeah, or which is the view of the, you know, of the Mishnah Melech. Right. It reminds us a little bit, you know, but isn't necessarily the same, about this question of Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni, but of course it isn't exactly the same. So this is an interesting question. What Noam's saying is, you know, the Shemesh Ish is the same. You know, the actual Kedusha Sa'ishus, you know, is the same. Right? There is, of course, a difference, though, and that is in terms of the, you know, Heter Isha Labal, right? In other words, and the more you think that Erisin isn't just even a step, you know, towards, but it's a step towards because first it's a step back, you know, the more you emphasize the Oser part of Erisin, which is what we were talking about the other day, the Ravid and Shittim Kubetza Sink Suvis, and in my opinion, definitely Shittas HaRambam, more generally. So, again, the Chalos Eishas Ish is full, you know. But if this is about more the aspiration, like a Baal ke Ishto, Ishto ke Baal, you know, the completion of the Ishus, and it's more violation of that, you know, then there's room, obviously, you know, for such a possibility. But it's a very interesting issue. If you were to take the Marajdam's, perspective, you know, you'd also get caught up, of course, you know, with the, if you want to answer the Yerushalmi's question, with the whole discussion in, you know, the Sugya Nivam Masid Aleph on the base, named Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur and the Chachamim, about when Machzor Grishaso, you know, happens. Okay. But either way, that is an interesting issue, one to be revisited, but the argument itself is very, very intriguing. Okay. What about if you take the view of the Tshuva Saran? What is the Kiddush of the Tshuva Saran? Yonatan?
Tshuva Saran would say that Beis Shammai only applies to the Baal Korcho.
Yeah. So the Tshuva Saran was Mechadesh, that if you hold, you know, like what about Cheru Rabbeinu Gershom, you know, that you're not allowed to be Megarish Ishto Bal Karkok Bizman Hazeh. Right, does that affect any of all of this? So Agav, he develops this idea, which seems to be accepted in the Shulchan Aruch, right, that the whole discussion of Beishamai Beitzhilel Rabbi Akiva is only in Gerushin Bal Korcha Di Isha. You know, but if there is Haskama Beinayim, you know, or if she's, you know, in agreement, then, you know, then even Beishamai apparently, you know, would agree, you know, that there is, you know, room for Gerushin. So, of course, again, not, it's clear that, you know, not all Rishonim agree with that at all. And again, what would you say is the issue?
Or just about the fact that Beishamai only applies Bal Korcha on the other, their Yisurim only apply to Grusha Midas.
What?
According to
no, that's the facts. I'm saying conceptually, what would you say about this? I mean, should Beishamai Beis Hillel Rabbi Akiva, you know, be dependent on this issue? What do you think? Al? Well,
I think it sounds reasonable.
Reasonable according to which perspective, and not reasonable maybe according to which perspective. I mean, reasonable across the board. Well, it is very logical. I mean, it is compelling. But, you know, it implies that the whole point is, you know, about, like, you know, fairness, you know, like when there's a marriage. So it's, you know, there's a kind of implicit commitment, right, to the other party. And if the problem of Gerushin is the reneging on that, you know, commitment, you know, the till death do us part, you know, part as an expression of, you know, affection or as an expression of commitment, you know, shalote kalabein of lahotzia kind of things, or get mekushar kind of a thing, you know, where this is all to protect the parties, but not just on a you know, extraneous human level, but on a, you know, it's part of the issues. Part of the issues is, you know, an implicit or an explicit, as the case may be, you know, securing of the, you know, the right of the other party for stability and for, you know, being, you know, related to in a respectful way, you know, and so on and so forth. So if the problem of Beishamai Beitzhilel, you know, Rabbi Akiva, or, you know, some of them, is that issue, so when there's an agreement, you know, on both sides that there should be a Gerushin, why would there be a Beishamai Beis Hillel, you know, Rabbi Akiva issue? However, Al, what do you think? Is there a however? Or I don't want to pressure you.
I think
you
say maybe it has something to do with the kind of Kiddushin issue by itself.
Correct.
Not considering the parties independent.
Excellent. Exactly. If it's a din in the Cheftza Shel Ishus, meaning that it's really a halacha in, you know, the nature of the bond, you know, it's not the, you know, the implicit protection on a extraneous level or even on an internal level. It's, you know, it's Ishus itself. You know, again, I spoke yesterday a little bit about, you know, the bond between, you know, Knesset Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam being, you know, a kind of a marriage, you know, but it's Haysa Ke'almana, you know, in Eicha. And it's, you know, like we said yesterday in Pasuk and Yeshaya, Perkin and Pasuk Aleph, you know, there was no safer, there's no safer krisis in that, you know, particular, you know, relationship. And that's the Pasuk and Amos, right? You know, we're stuck together, so, you know, we have to make it work, you know. Like, that's a good motivating, you know, factor. So that something similar, you know, does that apply to a human, you know, Ishus Shel Kedusha, is it fundamentally permanent? Or, even if it isn't fundamentally permanent in the sense that you, you know, don't have the ability to, you know, to disband it, to extricate from it, at least, you know, is that a violation of the Kedushas, you know, Ishus, in which case, you know, the interest of the Baal and the Isha, you know, aren't necessarily the only things that we care about. Now, you might say that there still is such a thing, but it's overridden, you know, by both. But it's certainly not a davar pashut, and therefore those who don't say what the Ran and Shulchan Aruch, you know, accept, you know, we can understand their shita. And again, here too, it's very reasonable to think that there would be a difference between Beit Shammai on the one hand, Beit Hillel or Beit Akiva on the other, qualitatively. This may also, it doesn't have to, but may also touch on the question of, you know, whether, you know, this is not having the proper grounds is ma'akev b'di'eved, you know, or not. The more you think that in theory could even be ma'akev b'di'eved, right, the more it sounds like it's a din in the chepsa shalishos, you know, in that bond, in that kalos, you know, it can only unravel, you know, when, you know, when there's an objective, you know, maisa davar shebe'erva, you know, which, you know, which destroys it, or which, you know, compromises it. But if you think that, you know, according to Beit Shammai b'di'eved anyway it would work, and it's all just l'chatchila, you know, then it's probably less likely. It's probably anyways, you know, more. It's not built into the bond that it can't be broken. You know, it's more of, you know, what are these other issues, and then the possibility that when you have joint, you know, ratzon, that that would, you know, override, or that wouldn't be a situation, would make more sense. There was a question? Yeah.
Isn't the Ron just talking about the issue of more of his bad moral of Moses as opposed to the Isser and the conditions of religion?
It could be, but definitely he might personally be talking about that. It's taken by some of the Achronim also to apply to the question of Beit Shammai.
So is that, but that's not particularly obvious, right?
Right. I don't think so. 100%. Speaking of which, that's a good horror in terms of the Ron itself, but the way it was, as I say, you know, expanded. So the Rashash, you know, in general says that this is not just the Rashash, other Achronim too, you know, that the whole Beit Shammai, speaking of, you know, the Mizbeach, that the whole Beit Shammai is only a din in Ziva Grisha. Not in, you know, now again, that, you know, is even more, I think, mechudash, you know, or more dilutes Beit Shammai even more than the Marashdam, you know, about Eirusin. As we've discussed, Zivug Grishon, Zivug Sheni is certainly not a din in Chepta Shalishas at all. Right. It's either, you know, a separate, you know, a separate factor, or it's a factor that goes into whether or not we perceive that this is like disrespectful, you know, but definitely not on an institutional Chepta Shalishas level, more on a, you know, there's a certain standard in how you, you know, have to conduct yourself, you know, in making decisions about the issues, and the, this is what Asher, who's not here, but, you know, Kiva's here, so standing in for him, or sitting close to the spot, right? So, you know, the idea, this is what I was trying to say then, and that Asher was trying to formulate in his own way, and that is that the the expectation of the, you know, interrelationship itself is a function of you know, the relationship of the parties and the expectations, you know, more objectively. So what constitutes, let's say, a disrespectful, you know, a termination of a marriage, you know, for Zivug, you know, Sheni, you know, is very different than Zivug Rishon. So the idea that, what I'm saying is, if Ervas Davar was understood as like a flaw in the Ishus itself, you know, then for sure there could be no difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. If we're talking about grounds and justification of, you know, the behavioral question, like, you know, is it appropriate to do this? Is it usher to do it even? Is it a mitzvah to do it? The idea that the expectations of a first and second marriage are fundamentally different, you know, given what the Gemara says in the end of Psachim, given, you know, the reality, you know, that all of us can fully, you know, understand. And again, just to make it clear, as I keep repeating, you know, all these chilukim, you know, that are a little bit, you know, more that go to, like, you know, expectations and you know, the question of, you know, respect in, inside this institution of Kedusha, etc. We're speaking structurally. In other words, you know, you can have a Zivug Rishon, which sadly, you know, was in, you know, wrong from the beginning, and you can have a Zivug Sheni, which is, you know, Gan Eden. But, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about structurally, you know, what, you know, what the expectations are and what, you know, typically the considerations are. Okay, so these are some of the chilukim k'tas ha'golam, harishdam, based on the expansion of Tshuva Saran. Binyamin is quite correct. The idea of Zivug Rishon. I should mention that, you know, there are people who suggest that the Rambam really paskins like Beis Shammai, in Parak, you know, Yud Aleph, I'm sorry, Parak Yud Halacha, you know, Chabbeis, and that, you know, he just thinks that Beis Shammai is limited to, you know, Zivug Rishon. So we'll get back to the Rambam. Most people think that the Rambam is within, you know, Beis Hillel, and that even Beis Hillel agree that you should have a higher standard for Zivug Rishon, but that isn't, you know, exactly Beis Shammai. Okay, so all these would answer, any of these things would obviously make room for Machzu Grushaso. I'm not so interested only in answering, you know, I don't need a laundry list of answers for the Rishami's question per se. I'm using it as a mechanism also to, you know, to record or register, you know, the different views in Beis Shammai, or the different views in grounds for divorce, and, you know, thinking of whether we should be mechalik between Beis Hillel, you know, and Beis Shammai. Eitza, Erusin, Zivug Rishon, Ratzon Ha'isha, etc. Okay. So, having said that, let's get back to some more fundamental answers to this question. So, the we were stopped talking about the Rajba. Yeah, Josh?
Is Takanas for Ben Gershon not also potentially a way of restructuring not just the ability for the Baal to be unilaterally dissolve the relationship, but also restructuring how we look at parts of the marriage itself?
Part of?
Like how we look at parts of the marriage itself. Like the more you build up...
I think that's very ambitious.
No, I'm just saying, again, Iran says that the machlokas is only pre-Takanas or Bina Gershom, so I'm just wondering where we're expanding it. There's one thing, the more likely we are the Yerushalmi, that if the fact that the husband can do it by himself may connect to Girish and Rishav and a certain kind of Ishus, I wonder a little bit.
Right, I don't think, I mean, I don't think Rabbeinu Gershom had the ability or the,
what's the effect
motivation to try to transform. I mean, right. He didn't have the capacity to do that. You know, he could make a cheren, you know, to impede the ability, you know, to be Megaresh and again, you know, Ratzon, you know, Ha'isha. He didn't have the ability to, you know, to transform, you know, Ishus. And as I said, I don't think that that was...
No, he wouldn't transform all parts of it, but when you take away...
I mean, I think willy-nilly, you know, the attitudes maybe towards Gittin changes when it's no longer Baal Korcha the Isha, and that might, you know, have some residual effect in certain other things. And that, I think, is correct.
Yeah.
But that it would go so far as what you're suggesting...
No, I'm just saying with Machlokes Tanoim.
Right, even... I find it difficult.
Right.
I find it difficult. Okay. Yeah. So, of course, we have the Tshuva of the Rajba. So let's talk about the Tshuva of the Rajba for a minute. Who has the Tshuva of the Rajba open? Akiva, you have it? Akiva? Tov Kuf Nun Zion? So the Rajba addresses this question of the Yerushalmi directly. Namely, how do you, you know, read the Parsha Matzah Grishas? How do you have Matzah Grishas? So, according to Beis Shammah. Excuse me. He's also dealing with this, you know, part of the issue, right? Ooh, Chas v'Shalom, right? Right, that's actually an interesting line, right? Okay, a defense of Midas Chasidus, you know. Only Midas Chasidus. What do you mean? Only. Right? Okay, go ahead. The Ode Mestaberly. This is more important. Mark? So what's he saying?
So it makes sense that he's kind of talking about this
amount. We don't need actual, we're not talking about actual Ervas Davar Be'edim exactly. Because then Machshu Grishaso would be superfluous, right? Meaning it would always be mechuyev, not just like a reshus. Ella. Okay, so he's expanding Ervas Davar to be objective, toxic behavior in the marriage, right? But short of sota. Now, how far it goes in terms of, you know, both mitzvah lagarsha and efshar lagarsha, lechatchila lagarsha, how far Dvarim Bechorim go is not so clear in the Rajba. Okay, but it's clear that there's an expansion. Kmo she'amar. Yeah. Yeah. Then he goes on to say, the Karvani Beinai Lomar. Now the truth is, that's very interesting. Meaning what? There's no Isur Sota in that case yet. What? Yeah. So that's actually very interesting. And therefore what? Yeah. So it's actually a little bit interesting in light of the whole discussion between, you know, Rashi, you know, and the Ramban and Perush Al HaTorah. Right? I mean, Rashi interpreted that the sota, you know, that is the, that shares the pasuk of Machzor Grishaso, was, you know, kinu in stira, you know, bali edus tuma. Correct? And the Ramban, you know, attacks Rashi, right, and says that it's dafka sota. Correct? So it's interesting, at least in terms of grounds for divorce, the Rajba is saying, you know, even absent, you know, it sounds like this would have been a different place to draw the line. Maybe even if you didn't say that Beit Shammai expands to, you know, Divrei Kiyur in a much broader way, you know, but maybe like the expanded sota, of which there's no Isur sota, you know, maybe dafka there. So it's something to think about in terms of the that shita. We'll get back to it. The Amar Le Shmuel. Okay, it's a different way. Okay. Okay. Okay, so this is like very clearly there's something going on here, you know, also. You know, in terms of, you know, it sounds like a very emotional, you know, argument, frankly. The Rajput seems very invested. And you can imagine, grounds for divorce, it's always a controversial issue, but obviously something, you know, very particular going on as well. So basically the idea of the Rajba is that Beit Shammai, you know, his answer, even for Beit Shammai, is this is obviously would answer the Yerushalmi. So there are those who ask against, you know, the Rajba, you know, well, that seems to be against the Yerushalmi, otherwise there would be no question. Right. Who asked that question? Is that Rabbi Kivega's question? In Gilyon HaShas? V'ayin Rajba b'tshuva, right, v'tzorech li'iyun gadol. Okay. I guess, what does the word tzorech li'iyun gadol mean? You know, is it true on the face of it? Maybe he's bothered by that? Or like, you know, isn't this against the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi's question just doesn't get off the ground if you hold this way. Right? The this idea that Beit Shammai expands, like how much do they expand? So again, if they only expand to like stira, kini ustira b'liyei de tuma, no, that's one place to draw the line. If it's even das Moshe, and if it's even more, like say das Yehudis, the more you expand Beit Shammai, the less it's a din in the chefza shalishus. The closer it is, of course, to, you know, Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, assuming Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, you know, are not just a whim, you know, but they, but even then there's still a qualitative difference in that, you know, whether it's, you know, Stira or it's Das Moshe, or even if it's Das Yehudis or other types of Kior, we're not just talking about, you know, discord on a personal level within the Ishus. You know, you can still maintain that according to Beis Shammai, this has to do with marital, you know, behavior. Not just behavior, you know, among the spouses, you know, but actually, you know, behavior with, you know, sneus behavior, you know, within the ishus itself. So it isn't quite matzaba erbas davar, you know, and maybe there's no raya, maybe it's, the further you go, as I say, the whatever, but it still qualitatively could be different than the others. Now, what is the basis of saying this, that Beit Shammai expands, you know, and is that, you know, acceptable or davar pashut, you know, or not? It depends also how you read, right, the Gemara here on Sadi Amud Beis. Right, Akiva? Right? By the bottom of Tzadi Amud Aleph, and Adam Roas Isha Yotze Vishvarosha Perua Betava Bashuk, right, Upruma Mishnei Tzadeha Vrochetzas of Bnei Adam, Im Bnei Adam Salkadaitach, El Bamokam She Bnei Adam Rochetzim, Zum Mitzvah Minat Torah Lagarsha, Shenemar Ki Matzava Erbas Davar. Right? Vishilcha Mi Beisa Vahokavai Salisha Acher, and so on. So, is this Gemara Beis Shammai, or Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva? Right? That seems to be a big question. Just as the earlier question of Rav Papa and Rava, you know, was unclear. So, it's very possible, if this is Beis Shammai, so this would lend support to the Tshuvas HaRajba's idea, you know, that even though, you know, the pasuk says matzaba erbas davar, that it doesn't just mean erbas davar, it means even, you know, inappropriate marital behavior, you know, that's far short of an isa. Yeah, you know?
The first day of Yerushalmi seems to be also like the Shana.
Say it again?
The first day of Yerushalmi seems
to be earlier. Yeah, correct. I was going to mention that. Also Yerushalmi in Sota, you know, Aleph. Sure. Correct. You have that line earlier?
Yeah.
No, you're 100% right. Earlier, the Yerushalmi does seem to say that. People ask a stira. I mean, the Yerushalmi asks a stira, actually. Right? It's hard to read it a little bit. Yeah, you have the line?
Shall I honor in the hour of the earth and shall I go to the lad? Minai, the earth, sir, or shall I prove about Erva Stava. And then one thing with the Shama Shor Tama Ails in Shum Erva, Asr in Shum Dava, Achayim in Bukhar.
Yeah. So the Mefarshim there, Aleph Aleph, they speak about it a lot, right? Because again, if you take that view, then it's hard to understand the next the Yerushalmi that we're talking about, you know, which is right pretty much after it, which is like, what do you need Maksa Grusha? You need Maksa Grushaso because there's no Isha Sota, you know, in all of those cases. Yeah. Again, Yerushalmi in Sota Aleph Aleph also clearly holds, you know, that this is the case, that this is the expansion, you know, makes sense. I thought Rabbi Kivager was troubled, like, you know, this is against the Yerushalmi. The Ritvaz in his parish on the Yerushalmi, we're not going to go into it now, you know, suggests, oh, maybe that's the answer of the Yerushalmi. Somehow the Yerushalmi's answer means this. Namely, that, you know, there's an expansive definition. It doesn't sound that way at all in our Yerushalmi, but it does sound that way, and he also, the Ritvaz, quotes this other Yerushalmi, you know, to try to, you know, connect it. If you look at the Rambam, it's possible that the Rambam read Beis Shammai this way. That's already a little bit of a stretch. That's how the Lechem Mishnah suggests. Right? What's the problem, Akiva?
Yeah, the
correct. The Rambam, you have it there in Perek Yud, Halacha Chafes, when he quotes, you know, this issue, instead of quoting the Pasuk of Matzah Ba'ervas Davar, quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei. Which quotes the Matzah Bayar Vazdah. So what is he? You have the Lechem Mishnah there? He's troubled by this. Yeah, I mean, why would you bring a pasuk from Mishlei if you could bring a pasuk, you know, in Devarim? And especially that's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes exactly for this. So, Yesh Devarim Bego. There's something weird about the Rambam's decision to quote that pasuk in Mishlei. So, like, what is that? Again, there are different explanations given. First of all, that's Agav, right? Agav, what did he say? Something about Beis Hillel, which is pretty interesting. And what? That Hikdicha Tavshilo is mitzvah lagarsha, not just heter lagarsha.
Right? Isn't he saying if this brisa would have been according to
Beis Hillel,
and you would have had to say this, but
yeah,
not possible.
Correct. So, but what I'm saying is he's considering the possibility that the concept of mitzvah lagarsha, you know, matching up with the grounds for the divorce, is true even for Beis Hillel, for whom it seems like Hikdicha Tavshilo is, you know, a justification, certainly not a mitzvah. Right? Otherwise, this is no... right. Otherwise, you know, how would you read the Gemara that way either way? Right. So the Agav, the Lechem Mishnah, has a ha'ara about the scope of Beis Hillel being actually a mitzvah, which would make more sense if Hikdicha Tavshilo wasn't just, you know, something very trivial, you know, and meaningless. You know, but again, we're still going to sum up Beis Hillel a little bit, but was something, you know, like the Meiri understands, you know, which is, you know, toxic relationship, you know, between the parties that is reflected by, or what the Tur calls Pshia and what the Meiri calls, you know, Merid. Even then, it's Mechudash to say that is a Heter is one thing. To say that it would be a mitzvah is quite something else. If it's even less than that, then it's even bigger. But either way, go ahead. Yeah, Davar Kai.
Right. Hava Rabbeinu Vator Lo Sar Sidira Lego Hachi. Hava Hach Raisa Kabe Shama Bitokma. Wahachi Maisu Lego. Ve'ahi Kra Digerish Leis Yatsa Madon. She'amar Sham.
Okay. So what's he saying? That according to the Rambam, Rambam is not, you know, Beis Shammai. And therefore for him, this, you know, this expansion is based on the Pasuk in Mishlei. But for Beis Shammai, right, the Divrei Kiyor would be included in Matzabayar Vastavar. Okay. But the Bali Tosis, as he correctly points out on Sadi Omid Beis, do not think that this line of the you have it there, Kiva? Right on the bottom of Sadi Omid Beis.
Hakosif
Kiro Acher.
There, he's talking about Divrei Beisela by Erbas type, that if Beisela holds it both, so this line must be going on Erbas, and Beisela does hold it on Erbas.
Right, means there are chalos din davar shebereba dvar ever even for Beis Hillel. Right, so if you say that and it's not Beis Shammai, then you don't have to come to the conclusion, you know, that Beis Shammai, you know, is expanding midin daraisa, correct? And indeed, Pashtus of the Yerushalmi is against the Tshuvas HaRashba, as Rabbi Kiveger points out. So it's a huge debate emerges, you know, about whether Beis Shammai has this more expansive, you know, view or not. Okay, so that is, in terms of the Tshuvas HaRashba, that's really very critical. And the question remains, if you hold like the Tshuvas HaRashba and you do expand Beis Shammai, you know, so to what extent, you know, does it just, you know, an alternative to Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel, or it's still different because it's still a din, as I say, in the issuous behavior of the marriage, even if it isn't din, even if it isn't a din, and objectively, in the actual, you know, kedusha sa'ishus itself. Okay, so that remains a question. What about the Rajba himself? This is what we started talking about yesterday. I want to finish with that. The Rajba himself, not the tshuva, but in the actual Rajba, says what? Bini, saw it, have it.
I think it's kedusha l'kedin.
What?
Be divorced l'kedin, he says.
Yeah. So here, that this yeah, what does he say basically?
That when you divorce, they hold much better than Dover, but if you divorce for there's a case for there's no Erba.
Meaning where Beis Shammai holds a Chatchila, that doesn't mean as an Eitz HaTova. It means, you know, the proper Din D'oraisa, let's say, is only to be Megarish for Erba's Dover. And let's assume that means literally only Erba's Dover, not like he says in the Shas HaRashba. However, Bidiyaved, it'll still work, and since if Avar, in other words, Vigiresh, the Gerushin would be Chal, and since that's the case, so you still have use of Matzir Grushasa. And that's the suggestion that he's quoting.
Yeah.
Then he's somewhat Docha it. Why? Yeah. Meaning because the problem, the question of the Yerushalmi, this is an interesting point, is the question of the Yerushalmi, you know, that there's no hechetimtzi of Masi Grushaso according to Beis Shammai? Or is the question that, you know, given the, you know, the normal read of the psukim, which is that we're talking about a case of Matzah Ba'erbaz Davar, how would there be, if Matzah Ba'erbaz Davar for Beis Shammai means this, then in a case of Matzah Ba'erbaz Davar there should be no Masi Grushaso? He's not asking, you know, why is there an institution or an iser of Masi Grushaso? He's saying, based on the way that the psukim are structured, right, there should also be a case of Masa Grushaso, right, even in conjunction with Matzah Erva's Dav. Right? And that's why the Rajba, you know, is not so happy. And that's why I mentioned that the Pnei Yoshua and others say, you know, the psukim are Megala Das. They don't have to be limited or even apply necessarily to the previous Hekatinsi, according to Beis Shammai, and you know, there are other examples. That's an interesting parshanut question. Okay, but not for now. Oh, but the issue that I was interested in that I want to come back to is, you know, is the Rajba basically saying, I mean, the Yerushalmi asks this question. So, you know, if this would be an answer to this question, then the impression would be that the Yerushalmi itself held that according to Beit Shammai, this is ma'akev. Meaning not only that you're not allowed to divorce, you know, except under the circumstance, strict circumstances of matzah b'erevas davar, which again doesn't include anything but sota, otherwise it's no question, but that, you know, in gireish, in avar v'gireish, in gerusho, gerush, which of course is very, you know, a radical, you know, idea. Now the Rashba proves that that is wrong. How? By citing Rav Papa. Right? What, you have a question? Yeah.
Would you have to say that according to Pishei Arad, also the question is only based on Pshat and Pesukim? Because
Pishei Arad... I hear that. I mean, made the case in the Pesukim. I mean, if you want, once you say this DE line of the Rashba, namely that the question is a question not can you have a hechetimtzi of Maxi Grushaso if you hold like Beis Shammai, but, you know, based on the way the Psukim are formulated, you know, there should be also a coincidence of, you know, actual Beis Shammai, Matzah B'Erevas Davar, and Maxi Grushaso. He's saying if that were to be the case, then you wouldn't be able to use the answer based on the Tshuvas HaRashba, if you're using it, namely that shiny Ritzona Isha, because that's not the case of the Pesukim. Right, that's drastic. That's what you're saying. Yeah, I think it's a great hara. Yeah, very good point. I guess in theory you could say the same thing about, you know, Erison and Nisuin too, if you assume, you know, that the Vyatza V'Haisa here, you know, implies Nisuin. So I want you, you know, it's an interesting nuance that the Rashba, you know, brings up. I think without the Rashba, most people would have read the Yerushalmi, I know I would have, as being a question like, you know, Mehechetesi, you know, this doesn't exist. And frankly, the answer of the Yerushalmi, you know, well, we still have to explain it, you know, Lav or Olav Bishnayim or Lav or Olav Belav instead of just an essay, also works much better if you're not just talking technically, you know, and coincidentally about the way the Psukim are. Although, again, you can read it the other way. You can say, oh, even these Psukim, like there's an element, you know, but it doesn't sound that way so much. In which case, the assumption of the Yerushalmi does seem to be based on the notion that according to Beis Shammai, there would actually be no Gerushin b'di'evet. So that is very, you know, again, if this were about, you know, what constitutes like a violation of the marriage bond, the effort to divorce, etc., it ups the ante, put it this way, you know, for Beis Shammai, you know, to be ma'akev, you know, that it's ma'akev b'di'evet in a very significant way. And then basically what we're really saying is, you know, that a marriage is permanent, you know, especially if you put both of these things together in the Yerushalmi, right? In other words, it's only actual erevas davar sota. So the only thing that, you know, breaks the permanence of a marriage is the internal, like, destruction of the marriage. Wow. But it does touch a little bit on how you read, and that's what the Rashba, you know, proves it from, the Gemara of Rav Papa. Yeah.
Does
this remind me name again?
Zach.
Not Isaac. Yeah. Correct. Zach, go ahead.
The assumption of the question of Yerushalmi is that there would be no, like, there would be no, that it would be ma'akiv, the erva. How does the answer make sense of
why not? Let's say she's a sota. Oh, I hear what you're saying. That's a great point. I mean, though you're where you're over on both. I mean, the gerushin shouldn't be chal. You're saying,
yeah.
So that is a question that is asked in a different form. I should really talk about that for a couple of minutes. In the sugya, in parallel to that, in Tmura Daf Hey, where the Gemara talks about, you know, anusa, where a person, where he divorces an anusa, I'll get to it in just a second. But I'll just tell you this very briefly. According to Rava, who holds Kol Adam Rachmana Lo Savid, you know, Iavid Lo Mahani, so the Gemara in Tmura asks, so how come in the case of an anusa, right, where he's not allowed to divorce her, how come the gerushin is chal, and that he's be'omed v'hachazer, right? Yeah. So this is a question that, you know, Rishonim ask there, including Bali Tosis in Temura. They say, well, you know, if you're really saying, you know, that the Gerushin is not Chal, you know, then there shouldn't be a violation. So it's like a parallel to what you're asking. So let me think about that for a second. How would you, which could you violate Matsir Grushaso if the get was not Chal? Probably not.
Yeah. I hear that.
I mean, that's the answer of the Yerushalmi.
The assumption is...
Oh. One second, let me... Could that be? One second, that's a really good question. Meaning, if the get is not chal, if the get is chal, then unless you interpret like the Rajba, the question is problematic anyway, because of what happens in a case where he was Megarish. Right? You're saying if he was not Megarish, there's no Hechet Timtz. If the Gerushin is not Chal, then there's no Hechet Timtzi of Matsir Rishasa. Not why do you need it? Can you read that into the question of the Yerushalmi, maybe, this question?
Why would the Gerushin be Chal? Isn't it the case of Soto?
What?
Why wouldn't the Gerushin be Chal?
In absent... No, one second.
Isn't it the case of Soto?
Oh, yeah, one second. Yeah, right, one second. It is a case of Soto. What we're saying is that... It's not, yeah, why don't we say, yeah, we have both sides of it. I think I'll just look at it. If there's sota, so the get is chal. And if the get is chal, then what's the purpose of Matsu Grushasa? Right? That's the question you shot me. Had it been bidyeved, then it wasn't ma'akev, then we could have answered that question, namely, even absent the case of, yeah, right, correct, I'm sorry. Even absent the case of sota, right, you still have a hechetimtzi, you know, of matzi b'shasa. But we're not saying that, you know, it's not chal in cases that are not so, that are, right. Okay, yeah.
Do we have to read the Rashba saying that, you know, their abundance still works, or that there's actually, the Rashba is like, the shoot the Rashba, and we have a complete expansion, and there's no actual...
Where, I don't see that in the Rashba. You see that in the Rashba? In the answer that he gives?
Yeah, possibly. And
one second. He answers... Da, 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 da. Makshel Beis Shammai, Ulefu Maida Asikna B'Gemarin Hacha, which I want to get back to my... De Lo Mata Balo Erva, right, Velo Davar B'Gir Shammai. Right? So the answer is the Avad, Maida Avad Avad. Right near the losuchinu lukum b'alav v'asei ella dim avar v'girsha tehei asura lachsolo. Okay, how do you? What do you want to say with that?
And depending on what is the lav v'asei that he's talking about. Really
meaning the answer of the Yerushalmi, depending on the girsa, is either shnei labin or lav v'asei.
So
what he's saying is you don't need that answer. Is that, you know, because again we never like to give that answer. Well, the way when we finish with it, we won't mind giving it, but you know, because we're going to try to explain that it might mean something a little bigger. But if it just means oh to pile on the lav, oh you get another lav, you get another balkis, you get another, that's always a last resort, you know, answer. If you have a better answer, you know, to explain the existence of a halacha, an institution in halacha, you know, then for sure. You know, that's going to be more attractive. So what we're saying is, no, just because l'chatchila, you can't be megaresh, you know, except in circumstances which render matzu grushaso, you know, impossible, since b'dieved, you can, there's still an institution, a matzu grushaso. So why is that a problem? So therefore, you don't need to say, you know, this more, you know, b'dieved answer. You can just say b'dieved, which is, in this case, a more l'chatchila answer. Right? But I don't think you could work that into the language of the Rajba itself. Okay, so this idea, but the Rajba's idea that how does he know that it's b'dieved? Because he's reading the Gemara of Rapapa regard as being applicable to Beis Shammai. In other words, that the Gemara asks, let's say there's no circumstances, you know, and then the Gemara says, no, you know, b'dieved, it's good enough. But as we know, right? You don't have to read that in Beis Shammai, because Rashi says that Gemara is Aliva de Beis Hillel, actually. Correct? So according to Rashi, there is no evidence that according to Beit Shammai, b'diavad it works. And I think I mentioned that the Pnei Yeshua has this whole, you know, Pnei Yeshua and the Beis Meir, they say, no, but maybe Beit Shammai, it's really Mahakev, you know, b'diavad. There's even an interesting discussion, as we go on before, on the other side of it. I think I already mentioned in the Shaklam Tari of the Gemara, like Rashi never could, when the Gemara was weighing the possibility, you know, that maybe it will be, you know, Ma'akev B'diavad. In other words, the Gemara says, like, if there's no Dover, there's no Erva, like, you know, what will be? Meaning, and then they answer, B'diavad, it works, right? So, again, if you hold, like Rashi, that this Shaklam Tari is in Beis Hillel, I would say the Chiddush is the Havamina. I mean, the Gemara really thought that, you know, if it's not a Kdicha Tavshilo or Erva, you know, that there are no, in other words, justified grounds for divorce, that if you were of our Megarish, it wouldn't take hold. I mean, even Beis Hillel could have the possibility, you know, that the grounds for divorce justification is Ma'akev. I mean, that every time, you know, that there are grounds and only then there's like a chisaron in the ishus, then you're saying like, oh, ikdicha tavshilo, you're kind of raising, you know, ikdicha tavshilo or you know, things like that to the level of Beis Shammai Zerba's Davar, which my, you know, our whole discussion is based on, you know, it's very appealing to say that Erba's Davar is qualitatively just in a different league. That's about the ishus. This is about maybe the relationship of the spouses, or maybe even just about, you know, not being a whim or the justification, you know, even on a broader level, right? So for Rashi's reading of the Gemara, the Chiddush is that the Gemara really had a Havamina, you know, that it's Ma'akev. Except that Rashi himself kind of neutralizes that. It's like, how?
Because he says the Havamina wasn't that there would be no get, it's just that we would have given a Chi of Lahadura.
Correct. So Rashi doesn't, you know, maybe because of that, Rashi says the Havamina, you know, what a bit, you have to remarry. You're obligated to remarry. You know, it would be like Anusa. The Pnei Yeshua, as it happens, doesn't like that Rashi either. Because he's fixated on, he thinks it's Beis Shammai, and that it's, you know, Dvar Erva, and that the Havamina was, that it's really Ma'akev. And he doesn't like the Rashi, and he doesn't like the Rashi. No, he's a strict construction. The Beis Shammai is about the Cheftza Shel Ishus. But for Rashi, you know, it's not. Had it been for Rashi, Beis Shammai, would Rashi have interpreted, you know, a little bit differently, that it's really Ma'akev? I think he would have been more comfortable. Of course, you know, there is something that justifies Rashi. Eitan, what's that? The Gemara's, you know, Raya from Manusa, which is a case of what? Of a chiyuv lachzor ulekadsha, not a case of ikuv in, you know, indeed, maybe the maskon of the Gemara proves 100% that. Except that here I might be mechalik. Meaning, what do you think, Eitan? We're weighing two questions. A, whether grounds for divorce, you know, are necessary, you know, to the point that, you know, the ishus will remain intact even if b'dieved he was megarish, if he didn't achieve it. That's what we're wondering, right? With this Rajba, with the Rashi, with the, you know, the whole bit, correct? And, you know, the din of Anusa, you know, where he's not a lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav, you know, but if he does, and he's omeid, you know, b'hakzer, he has to marry her again. So what would you say?
Maybe the question of the Gemara is about it being chal or not, the Shammai, and then whatever you see in Ones reflects the answer.
Why would Ones be different? Why in Ones? So this goes to what I thought, you know, in Zach's initial question, what I was mentioning, this goes to an interesting question. The Rishonim in Tmura, you know, really wonder, anybody have a Tmura? They put it on the computer, Tmura? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, it's up there, he's saying. Binyamin. Go ahead, Binyamin. Binyamin has to get a lot of, you know, credit. You probably put it up there before I even mentioned it?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the first lashon.
So this, all, this is a Gemara about, you know, the Machlokas Rav and Abaya, a fascinating argument in any legal system, and especially in halacha. Namely, if an act, if something is asur, so it's an illegal performance, is it valid? Is it asur because precisely because it is valid? You know, or is it invalid because it's asur? You know? That's an interesting question. So that's generally speaking the debate between Rava and Abaya. Mahani or lo mahani. You can see the charm in both cases. You get, you know, the Avera for what you tried to do, for the merid, for the Maisa, or you get, you know, a merid, you know, for the effect. You know, if it's not chal, why are you getting punished? On the other hand, if it's an illegal act, how come it's chal? Right? So that's Abaya and Rava. I should say something about that for a minute, and that is what, you know, so the Shaka Vitaria in Tmura is trying to bring rayas, you know, from all over Shas, from all over the Halakha, to prove, you know, Abaya and Rava. And like many other Shaka Vitarias, the Gemara ends up saying, yeah, but, you know, this is the Shita of Rava and Abaya, all things being equal. Namely, what is the default of the system? But at the end of the day, right, there are always exceptions. You know, there are exceptions for Rava, there are exceptions for Abaya, and the Gemara quotes Psukim to that effect. One of the exceptions is here. One of the exceptions is, you know, Hashem Sagzei Lashon Gazal and other things. Oh, so we need to understand, like, what does it mean that you have this doctrine, you know, that illegal actions, you know, don't register, they're invalid, but there are exceptions. Or you're never going to get punished for an ineffectual action, but there are exceptions. Right? So you could say, you know, each one is Xeris HaKasuv, and maybe that's the right answer. However, we would certainly prefer that the Xeris HaKasuvs, you know, establish a certain pattern, right, which basically says, you know what, there are different types of illegal actions and there are different types of onshin. Sometimes you get an onesh for the merit, for the effort, you know, or sometimes the maisa, you know, is independent of its chalos. Those are two different points, by the way. Either one would justify that you get punished, you know, for doing the action, even if it's not chal, even according to that bandamar. But also, it goes in the other direction, right? You know, so there are some cases where, you know, if it's not effective, where the effect is the mechayev, and therefore, even if typically the maisa is what's asur, or the merid, you know, in this particular case, it's not. It's the effect. Anyways, having said, you'll see why I'm saying that in a minute. Go ahead, Binyamin. That was just like all just to introduce you. Go ahead. Which is not allowed to do. So it's, you know, called Madom Rachman lo Sabid. Go. Of course, if he's a Kohen, that's a problem of Masir Rishasa. So that's a big problem. But if he's Yisrael, Masir Ben Oloka. Okay.
So if you generally think that Yavid Lomahani, and the reason you get Malchus is because you violated the Maisa, so Hanami Loki, at the end of the day, you did a Maisa Gerishin. You have to do Rabba. Amar Lacha, Shiny Hasam, the Amar Kra Kol Yamav, the Amar Pahachin. So you still need to explain
the Pasuk. Okay, so they have a Xeris HaKasuv that tells you it's not so. So again, it's just a Gilui Milsa that this is an exception. Or what we're trying to say is the Maisa isn't the problem. What's the problem?
It is no longer being...
Meaning typically the Maisa is the problem, but here the Maisa isn't the problem. Because why? What's really the Mechayev?
The Mechayev is being married to the person who...
This woman was exploited. She was treated shabbily, to say the least, right? And part of the, you know, the onesh, the tikkun, whatever you want to call it, is that she, you know, gets to have, you know, over a secure, you know, life, right? So even if typically there can be gerushin, in this particular case, he's not allowed to be begarisher because, you know, he's already, you know, savaged her life, basically, right? So is it an Iser Maisa Gerushin? No. It's you know, it's nothing to do with the Ishus and the Maisa Gerushin. What does it have to do with? We want to make sure
that she stays married.
That if she wants to, that she has the security of marriage. So omid v'hachazer is totally fine, because there's no special din that the maisa gerushin, you know, of onus is more of a merit. It's the fact of stripping her, you know, of this required compensation, not overcompensation, the least that she deserves. Okay, good. So that is important, and that's going to be relevant to what we're saying also here. Go ahead. Then we'll abaya. It's also a problem for for abaya.
Very well, he has to explain the necessity of kol yam of amud pach.
I'll let you look at the rest of it. And then the Gemara in the end says the Shabbat. Yeah, keep going.
Let's rock. Basically, on the Shigiri Shimi Shel the Machshir in the Loka, him Kohen who Loka in the Machshir. Tani Yimi Shel the Machshir. Yovda the Abayi, because the Gerish should work. Shani Hasim the Rechmana Amar Kol Yam of the Amud Pachshir.
So again, the Habamina was and shouldn't work at all for Abayi, right?
Well, it should work, and therefore you shouldn't have to remarry her because it's Mahana.
Correct.
Rava Amar Lacha, Ilokas of Rahmana Kol Yamav, Havamina Lilki, Li Hadr, the Havale Lav, Grida, the Sim Lo Yuchal Shalcha, Ahachi Kasav Kra, Kol Yamav, Li Shavia La Ones, Lilotase Shinite Glase, Dain Lokin Alav.
Oh, so this is a Lav and Nita Glase. Okay, so this is a very interesting Shakavitarya. If you look at Tosis Alatar, and you look at the Shitim Kovetsis Alatar, they're wondering why the whole Gerushin, according to that Manda Amar, isn't just the Batal and Mevutal, because it doesn't work. Correct? You have the Tosis there? The Tosis says, because there's a Hekesh between Gerushin and Misa, or something like that?
He says, Vimtomar, Kevin Delo Mahani Gerushin, Michayev Habala Hamishin Eshes.
The coin of my loke, why is it Maxi Grushasa? It should just not be Chal.
Right.
So here's a Havamina that there's an Easter Lagaresh and it's Ma'akir. Correct?
Yeah.
And even though there's a typical din of Yavid Lomahani, right, shiny here. We know it's not the case because of the nature of Gerushin and it's, you know, it's equality or it's equation in this case vis-a-vis this particular issue with Misa. So that, again, that's a narrow idea. If you look at Shidduch Batzes, you can look at it on your own. He has a different answer to this question based, again, on the Omid V'Hakazer, etc. Okay, so what's the idea and why is it, how is it connected here? I would say, you know, in the bigger question, the Lava Nita Klase that the Gemara speaks of. And, you know, the problem of why this isn't, you know, completely ma'akev, even according to the Manda Omar, typically Yavid, you know, Lomahani, all of this is connected to the same idea. And that is, while the Maisa Gerushin is the focal point of the Isur, right, the problem in Ones is not the Gerushin. And it's not even the Ishus. The problem is, you know, her right, you know, to be married to him. But that's not the issue that we're dealing with, right? We're dealing with the Chefza Shel Ishus, right, and the right of Gerush. So maybe the Gemara here proves from Ones, you know, that in other circumstances, you know, you don't have a parallel, but it's quite possible that if you did, right, that would express itself in actually a bar chamor way. Now, this is a very good reason, you know, why. Now, again, there's only one other question to ask, and that is, according to, Beis Shammai, I think there's a Yeshua's question again. He's very active. According to Beis Shammai, right? Why, you know, why would there be a din, you know, of omeid v'hachazer? Maybe you should just say that the gerushin, you know, except in cases of, you know, matzah ba'ervas davar, right, is just not chal. Now, the Rishonim, the Shitugubetzes, the Bali Tosis in Tmura are trying to figure out, according to the Manda Amar, even according to the Manda Amar, the Ovid lo mahani, why the get is chal. Right? But if, according to Beis Shammai, you know, the get was not chal, in a case of lo matzah ba'ervas davar, you know, so, you know, wouldn't that, you know, kind of eliminate all cases of anusa? Or on another level, like if Beis Shammai felt that there was ikuv, you know, here, why wouldn't he think that there is ikuv, even, you know, aside from that question, because he could still answer that question in a way similar to other things that we've discussed, why wouldn't there be ikuv there? But that's what I'm trying to answer now, and that is that the idea that, you know, im avar b'girush lo girish makes a lot of sense if we're talking about, you know, a view, you know, which says that the ishus, you know, is not nitenes lebitol, except in a case where there's like an internal, you know, chisaro. But that isn't anything, that's not at all the problem of anusa. Okay, it's getting late. I want to try to finish this up. So let's talk about what other answers are there to this question. Let's talk about Yerushalmi's own answer. Before we get to that, there's an answer in the Achronim. Eitan?
Just has that answer. So still, how do you read the Gemara as concluding?
I'm sorry?
That Beis Shammai, are we still saying this?
No, so that's a question. Does the Gemara read according to Beis Shammai? It reads much better according to Rashi for Beis Hillel. What?
How can it read for Beis Shammai? So I think
How can it read for Beis Shammai if it's Ma'akev? So I'm saying even if then the maskana would be that it's not ma'akev. If you're reading this Gemara according to Beis Shammai, then you have to read like the Rajba, and then the maskana is that it's not ma'akev. What I'm saying is if you read the Gemara like Beis Hillel, which Rashi does, the Havamina is mechudash, but maybe meaning that that there'd be an issue. A Rashi himself kind of addresses that by making the Havamina not equal but Omivakser. And then it's the comparison anyway to Anusa makes more sense. Okay?
Just conceptually with this idea for the Shammai that it wouldn't be Chal the Yevet.
Yeah.
So just pin it down, you need to say that to say the approach of the Shammai that it's about something objective and issues?
No. I mean, do you need to conclude that it's? I mean, if you hold like what the Rajba says, you know, does that mean that there's no qualitative difference? No, but you know, you could still say that in terms of grounds for divorce, the only acceptable b'di'eved, you could be megarish and the gerushin will be chal. But the only acceptable grounds for divorce are still where there's a problem in the chafsa shalishis. I mean, even if you were to take you know, it's the Rajba in the Chidushim and not the Rajba in the Chuvos. As you were to say that Matzah Ba'Ervas Davar means Sota. You know, could it still be that B'di'eved Imavar Begir? Yes. And could you still argue that it's fundamentally different than anything you want to say, even on the closer proximity of Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva? I think the answer is yes. There's still, you know, a gap there. That's what you're asking. Okay, so let's talk about the answer of the Yerushalmi itself, whether it's the introduction of a lav or lav or alav b'shnei lavin. Well, first of all, the introduction of the lav is very interesting in light of, you know, the Gemara in Yevamos on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, right, where the Gemara basically says, as we've already discussed, that, you know, the Parsha of Sota
you know, appears elsewhere in Bamidbar, right? So, you know, what's the chiddush of the hutama, you know, of Matzah Grishasa, right? What's the answer to that question? To add a lav to the assay. So is that what is that the proper interpretation if you have the girsa of the Yerushalmi, you know, to add a lav? I mean, what we're saying is we, you know, you have to have machzor grushaso because that's the pasuk that adds, you know, a, is that what we mean? In which case, is there some idea that the only reason that there's a lav of sota, which is because it shares and is connected to the institution of machzor grushaso? Otherwise, it just would have been an assay. What I'm saying is a little bit complicated, but it's, you know, it's an honest speculation. In other words, does what is the if the Yerushalmi's girsa is lav or all of the lav? You know, are, do they just mean inochanami according to? I mean, it's strange. Inochanami according to Beishami, there's no machzor grushaso, but the pasuk, or there is machzor grushaso. It's a strange. Sota, according to the Gemara, gets a lav because of this additional pasuk. Otherwise, it only would have been an asay. Right? So, how is this an answer to the question? You don't need machzor grushaso, just that this machzor grushaso pasuk is the source to teach you that there's not only an asay, but there's a lav. So, if you want to say, oh, why do we need that pasuk, according, you know, why isn't it enough to have only what we have in Parshas, what is it? You know, Baloscha, right? So then it's a good answer. But then we don't need Machzor Grushaso in the Pasuk. Right? Am I right? I think I'm right. So then the implication seems to be that somehow the fact that the Torah formulates the Lav, right, in the not in the standalone Sota, but dafka in the, you know, in the pasuk that is shared with machzor grushaso, like somehow that's a factor, that's a din in sota and a machzor grushaso connection. That's very mechudash. Okay, that's number one. If you have the other girsa, lav rola b'shnei lavin, so what do we mean by that? Okay, number one, you have Rabbi Kineger in Gilyon Hashas, Aaron, who says?
There's no kolel,
there's no mosif. It should be ein iser kal liser. First of all, ein iser kal liser is like a tricky kind of question. There are some achronim, by the way, who suggest that it's an iser mosif based on the Gemara Nivamos, you know, which seems to have a havamina or a deya that if you have machzor grushaso shel sota, you know, that that might create a mamzer. Like, there's no mamzer in the machzor grushaso, and there's no mamzer in the sota, right? But if it's machzor grushaso sota, the Gemara has a haba, has a deya, that that's a mamzer. Some achronim say, oh, so it's an iser mosif. First of all, that phenomenon itself needs a little explanation. Why should the combination, if machzor grushaso alone and sota alone don't create a mamzer, why would the combination create a mamzer? What is the combination? But the truth is, in the other Maram Kolmos I gave you, and I want to still get back to, right? The, I think Lecha Mishnah in Parakid Aleph Chasishus also has like a very interesting combination or suggestion, you know, of combination. Like maybe you'd only get Malkus from Machzor Grushaso and Sota if they were together. If you were Machzor Grushaso of the Sota, like what is that? You know, the more it's like, you know, they have to fit. So what does that even mean? Okay, so we'll get that needs to be addressed. One could simply say, you know, that's a big question. Ein iser kal liser means there's no iser, ein iser kal liser means there's no onesh, right? If there's an onesh, you know, then what's Rabbi Kineger mean? If there's no malchus, it's not, you know, it's not lavral of b'shnayim, it's not worth it. But I think you go even further, and I alluded to this the other day. Even if you just take it at face value,
Is this a typical Ein Iser Chal Al Iser? What do you think, Yedidya? Yeah?
I think no.
Why?
I mean, it seems like Rabbi Akiva Eger's question is all coming off the assumption that Beit Shammai is ma'akev to the fact that it has to be sota, and therefore the only case in which these two Iserim would exist is when there's sota, and then it would just be Iser Chal Iser.
I'm not sure if it's what you're saying, but a typical case of Ein Iser Chal Iser is a case where the Isurim have nothing to do with each other, and they happen to coincide.
Sorry.
Right? What? That's to me.
Yeah.
So, but what happens if you have, you know, two Isurim that, you know, are connected, just like, you know, your Mamana and Asein Alav in the same thing, or two Laban of the same thing. That's not Iser Chal Iser. Now, this isn't the same thing, exactly. But one of the issues that we've been discussing, and this is like, you know, implicit, you know, in the Ramban, you know, in the first day in his Perish Al HaTorah, when he talks about Skrushasa, he says what? These are two different Isurim, right? And then in Sefer Mitzvos, we still have to look more at it, in Hashmata Tesvav, he says, oh, you know, the Rambam should have counted two separate Mitzvos in Minyan Mitzvos, right? But the Rambam doesn't. And we have these like peculiar, whether it's that line in Yevamos, the basis for those achronim, or the line in the Lecha Mishnah, you know, somehow like, oh, if you have a Matsu Grushaso, you know, Mi Sota, what is that? Meaning, or to go further, why is the, you know, Torah integrating Sota and Matsu Grushaso? Especially, you already have a parsha of sota, so find another way to signify that there's a lav, unless the lav is somehow connected to the masa grushaso esque part of sota, which was kind of what I was alluding to before. You know, there are other ways to do it. Like, it's just very strange. The pasuk seems completely to talk about masa grushaso and to call it tuma toeva, you know, machti saaretz, challenging the nakla. Like the Ramban's second, you know, point. So in the end of the day, maybe the idea is, and maybe that's what Yerushalmi is saying, especially if you have this Girsa, and maybe that's what I'm saying in the other Girsa, what I was talking about a second ago also, and that is, these are not two separate Isurim about which you say Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. They are two different aspects of one Yesod about Kedushas Ishus. Moreover, and this also may be true, it might be the opposite, or it might be, you know, kind of a, you know, an overlap. On the one hand, these are in the same pasuk for the same reason, you know, that we're trying to explain. They're all part of Kedushas Ishus. They all go back to the Hakdama. Why did the parsha of Kedushin and Gerushin, you know, why is it crescendo, Matsu, Grushaso, etc.? And in another respect, it could be, you know, that even if they're not two sides of the same coin, maybe they are significant because they're different dimensions, the different emphasis, you know, of a single act or of a single idea. Like I said before, you could put Machsa Grushaso, Rambam could have put Machsa Grushaso in Hilchos Ishus. I could make a case for it. In Hilchos Isurei Bia, for sure. We'll discuss it a little more. Or in Hilchos Gerushin. You put it in Hilchos Gerushin, and he understood that it's an exploitation and an abuse of the institution of get. But the way that we've understood get itself as a function of, you know, attesting to, you know, what you need to break up an ishus tells you what an ishus is. So in that respect, the lav rala b'shnayim is, you know, this is all, these are the different aspects of what, you know, these are. And even if they, when they coincide, and even when they don't coincide, they're related, but they're different. They're different emphases of one, you know, conduct, essentially. And for that reason, there's no din. Forget about the Isomosif or the... That's not Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. And if that's what the Yerushalmi is telling us, like, that's a very big yesod in both Sota and Masuk Shos. But we'll stop here. Sorry we're a little late. I want to finish, I'm sorry it's taking a little longer, but we still have to finish up with a couple of more points, and especially Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, for Thursday, and then I want to get back to finishing up Matzah Shasso.
And then I want to give you, I want to still talk about chutz, and then I want to give you also mar makomos for the pi'em v'lo m'pik savam, so we can start with the shtaros part and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir.